Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Seven Obstacles to Getting Free of Demons. We're going to talk about some of the hindrances to being completely delivered. I pray that this podcast will be a great blessing to you, will help you get more free than you've ever been before, or help get other people free if you're working on helping get someone else delivered. Recently, a friend of mine had an experience during a self-deliverance session that she shared with me. There was something I hadn't heard of before. And it started me thinking about problems that we experience in trying to get ourselves or someone else delivered. Every Christian I know desires true and complete deliverance. I don't personally know any Christians who want to keep their demons, but I have met some in the past. And one of the rules of deliverance is, let's say that you meet someone and they're an alcoholic, and the Lord reveals to you there's like a demon of alcoholism on them, and you want to get them delivered. And you ask them, would you like to be delivered of alcoholism? But they say no. If they say no, you don't have the right to get them delivered, and deliverance won't work because they have free will, and God will protect their free will. And if they want to keep that demon, they're allowed to keep it. But sometimes people do want to be free, or you want to be free. As y'all know, I mainly teach on self-deliverance. There's a reason why I teach self-deliverance instead of just doing deliverance on people. The main reason is because deliverance requires maintenance. It requires you to be very vigilant after you are delivered in order to keep those demons from coming back. And I have found that if you can just call somebody on the phone, or you can drive over to their house and get delivered, you won't care about being vigilant to stay delivered because you got somebody doing all the work for you. So we need to understand how demons work and what will happen to us if we just go get drive-through deliverance somewhere. Let's say that you know somebody that does that, and so you get a demon on you. You just go over there and get delivered of it, then you go back to living your life. We're going to talk about why that's not a good thing. So sometimes when you're trying to get yourself or someone else delivered, you run into problems and you find a demon that won't come out. So I want to talk about things that will hinder deliverance, things that can allow demons to stay in your life even if you don't want them there. First, I want to share with you my friend's revelation. She was going through a list of demons to get delivered of a particular problem to make sure that she didn't have any of them. And when she came to the demon of lust, she heard, oh, you can skip that one, you don't have that. And then she said, no, I should go ahead and cast it out anyway. And the voice argued with her, and it was in her voice. And as it turned out, to make a long story short, the demon was arguing with her in her own voice to keep from being cast out. Now, y'all know by now that the devil can drop thoughts into your mind, okay? He can speak your thoughts and make you think it's you. He sounds just like you when he does that. This is what happened in this case. This demon did not want to be cast out, so it was telling her that she didn't need to cast it out. It was lying and saying, oh, you don't have that. That's not there. It was there. That was what was talking to her. And she did cast it out because she was smarter than the demon. I knew that after deliverance, especially in cases of self-deliverance where the person is not very experienced, demons will try to tell you, oh, that didn't work, you didn't do it right, or the other person didn't cast them out right, so you still have them. They do that because if you will accept that thought, the demons get to come right back in. Let me tell you something. Demons do not have a choice whether deliverance works, okay? If you cast a demon out in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, and it does not have a right to stay, it works. Can I just tell you that? It works. Because they don't have a choice whether they obey that name. That is the name above every name. He is the commander of the commanders in chief, okay? But there are some things that give a demon a right to stay, and that's what I want to teach you about today. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but these are the main ones. So you'll know what they are, because it's important in deliverance to understand these obstacles and to know how to get rid of them. A demon's right to stay in the face of a command given in Jesus' name to leave is called a legal right. In order to effect a true deliverance, you need to remove all legal rights, so the demons have to obey and go out when they're told to go out. So the first obstacle deliverance we want to watch out for is the demons themselves. The demons want you to believe they're not real, or that they're not there, or that you don't know how or have the right to command them to leave, because they don't want to be cast out. Here's the deal. Hell was not created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. Okay? It is a horrible, horrible place. Everyone who has visited hell for a few seconds, minutes, days, hours, whatever, everybody who has visited there and come back says it's very dark. It stinks. There's things crawling around all over the place down there. People are trapped in pits and different things, fires burning everywhere, and that the only light comes from the fires, and that the demons torment them, okay? And they're in terrible pain, that they can feel just like you feel in your body now. You're conscious, only you can't die, which means they can torture you over and over and over again, and you have to live through it. And you have to feel the pain, and then they come back and do it again, and there's no hope you're going to get out. They say that the worst, everybody that's visited there says the worst thing about hell is that you have no hope that you're going to get out. The best book that I've ever read about a visit to hell was by Dr. Roger Mills, and it's called I Saw God, Hell, and the Living Dead. Fantastic story, fantastic. Not a very big book. It's out of print. You can occasionally find a copy on eBay, but you really got to search for it. That one is definitely the best of all the ones. And I've read a number of stories of people that visited hell, but that was the best one. Okay, so the first obstacle to getting delivered are the demons telling you that they're not there, or they're not real, or, oh, that didn't work, or you didn't do it right, or whatever. Another legal right to look for is a generational curse. And y'all who have listened to me for a while, you know we went through the curse breaking series and talked about all that. If there is a generational curse on me of anger, which there was, and I cast anger out, which I did many times, it won't go. Because it may get quiet for a little while. We call that duck and hide. It may go quiet for a little while to make me think it went, so I won't find, you know, search further and find out there's a curse there. But it's not gone, because that curse is the open door. It is the legal right for it to be there. Okay, so it don't have to go. I cast anger out I don't know how many times. I had a serious anger problem for many years because of PTSD. And I still had the anger problem even after I was healed of the PTSD. And anger is something that comes in with abuse. For those of you who are abuse survivors like I am, anger comes in with abuse. It always comes in, and it will stay until you know why it's there and you can make it leave. But the Lord revealed to me in his great mercy when he started revealing to me the generational curses, because I had been asking him, I didn't know if they were still relevant for today or not. And I had asked him, because I was like, Lord, do we still have those, or we don't have them, or, you know, and I had asked him like a week or two before, I think, that he started revealing to me the curses that were on me. One of them was the anger curse. The minute I broke it and cast that demon out, it was gone. I'm not saying I could never have an outburst again, but I don't have them. I just don't have. And then they were frequent. I mean, it was like every week. You know, I'd blow up at some. One day I blew up the mop, y'all. I had a sponge mop, and I was trying to mop, and I was exhausted. I had been up almost all night. I couldn't sleep or something at the old house in Princeton, and I was mopping the floor. And the mop, I had to stop and change the mop head because it wasn't any good. So I'm trying to put the thing on there, and it didn't fit. It was the only brand new mop head I had, and it didn't fit. And I just beat the mop into the floor. It was just one of those days. And I just flipped out on the mop and beat it into the floor, and I went back to bed. I would just lose it. But once that curse was broken and that demon was cast out, then I didn't have any more incidents like that. So curses are something that I look for. If I have a demon that won't go, and a lot of times when demons won't go, they'll mock you. They'll laugh at you and mock you. Just because they like to aggravate us. They just, you know, they hate us, so anything they can do to torment us, they do. But look for curses, When a demon won't go, start, you know, and what you have to do if you're delivering with someone else, especially if you're doing deliverance, is you have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You have to say, Lord, why is that demon not leaving? You just ask him in your heart, Lord, why is he not leaving? Why is that one not going? And he'll reveal to you. Okay, another thing to look for, and this is a big one, y'all, accursed objects. Y'all have heard me teach on this many times. Legal rights through cursed objects are one of the main things that I look for when a demon won't go. You cannot expect to get free of demons if you have cursed objects in your possession, okay? Cursed objects would be like anything related to the occult. Objects like Buddha statues. I once had a best friend years ago, and her house was full of Buddha statues. She had come from another country. And she said, oh, they're just art. And I said, no, they're another god. That's not art. To God, that's not art. That's another god. She kept them, though. She kept them. So Buddha statues. Any statue or image of a god or goddess from any country, anywhere, is an occult object and is an abomination to God, y'all. That's, you don't want, you can't have two gods in the same house. You can only serve one god. So if you're into, like, you know, pictures of, you know, the goddess of prosperity or whatever, I walked into a donut shop one time in Princeton and they had this statue of this real ancient looking thing. I was like, what is that? And the guy explained to me, it was basically a goddess of prosperity that would cause customers to come into your store. I didn't ever go into that store again. That's not a good thing. You don't want to have anything like that in your house. And especially for you new Christians, this is really important, because after you give your life to Jesus, the devil's going to attack you. He's going to attack you to try to make God look bad. He's going to attack you, and then he's going to go, see, God didn't protect you from that. He must not like you, or, you know, something like that, to try to get you to turn away from Jesus. Anything related to New Age stuff or witchcraft, those are accursed objects. Any object with a demonic or evil-looking image on it, DVD and CD covers, y'all. Any kind of picture on your wall. Dragons. You don't want dragons. I didn't even put dragons on this list. Dragons, because the devil's called the dragon. The devil's called the dragon in the Bible. Also, I wouldn't have anything with snakes on it in my house either. Let me read y'all this scripture, because I wrote down the reference and I didn't write down the scripture. Deuteronomy 7:26. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be cursed, a cursed thing like it. But you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Okay? So he said, neither shall you bring an abomination into your house. And that's in a verse right after it's talking about the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Okay, I don't know how it could be any more clear. In the story of Achan, the son of Carmi, in Joshua chapter 7, we see that there is an accursed thing among their stuff. And if there is an accursed thing among our stuff, we will not be able to stand before our enemies, just like in Joshua. Let me read you some of that for those of you who don't know it. Those of you who've listened to me for a long time, you've heard me talk about this many times, but, and I'm sure you've read it for yourself. But for you newer Christians who don't know this story, let me just read some of it to you so you understand, or a couple of verses. I'm going to read you Joshua 11:12. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. And also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Now, what happened is Israel had gone to fight one of the nations in the land that they were taking. I think that was the city of Ai. God told me to go take the city. You know, but he told them when they were taking Jericho, he said, this is an accursed city. You don't take anything out of there, but you take the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, take all that stuff, you put it into my treasury. Okay. So in Joshua 6:17-18, here's what he told them. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. So if you have the cursed thing, it makes you cursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Okay. So he told him to bring all the silver and gold and brass and iron. So Achan saw this beautiful garment. He called it a Babylonian garment. And silver and gold. And he took them. When he took the silver and the gold, he was stealing from God, that because God said, you take this stuff, put it in my house, and you don't take any of the other stuff for your house, because if you do, you're going to be cursed. So he took something that belonged to the Lord. He became cursed when he did that. So, and he disobeyed the command of the Lord not to take anything from Jericho. So anything that we are not supposed to have will bring a curse on us too. So rid yourself and your house of anything pertaining to other gods like Buddha, Satan, demons, vampires, anything with an evil image or an evil nature, if you want to be free of demons, because demons are attached to all that stuff. Okay, cursed activities such as the occult. Let me be real clear here. You cannot be involved in occult activities and not have demons. Okay, you can't. It's like having your cake and eating it too. You have to choose. And if you are involved in occult activities, you cannot make those demons leave unless you renounce all your occult activities and promise the Lord you're not going to do them ever again and ask forgiveness for them and ask the Lord to cleanse you of you. Then you can get on with deliverance. Let me list a few occult activities so you can understand what I mean. Occult activities is anything New Age, anything witchcraft or satanic related, that sort of thing. There's far too many for me to list them all, so I don't even know all of them. Any type of witchcraft, casting spells, trying to influence someone's thoughts by means of your own thoughts, or having someone else do it for you. Casting spells or influencing thoughts. Let me explain something to y'all. Let's say that you had a bad breakup with somebody and you wanted to get back at them, just for an example. Let's say that you hire somebody that says they can cast a spell on that person, or let's say that they can make them want you again or something ridiculous like that. You think you're innocent of that spell. You're not. You are just as guilty as the witch is who casts it. Okay, let's just be real clear about something. If you commit a sin, you're guilty. If you agree with a sin, you are guilty. Okay? God taught me that when he taught me about the innocent blood curse. If you even agree with the idea of abortion, you're guilty of innocent blood. Okay. Reading cards to get someone's fortune, or going to someone who reads cards. Tarot cards or any other kind of cards. If they're being used to tell fortunes, that's the same thing as tarot cards. Palm reading or going to a palm reader. Y'all, when you go to these kind of things, you get a spirit of divination on you. And divination's a pretty big demon. And it brings a bunch of other demons in with it. Crystal gazing, crystal balls, etc. Yes, people really do that nonsense. Here's one y'all may or may not be aware of. Reading horoscopes. Reading horoscopes is New Age. It is divination. And it will get you in trouble with God. Okay? It will cause you to have demons you can't get rid of. You got to renounce that. Practicing clairvoyance or clairaudience. Clairvoyance is knowing something you have no way to know. Okay? Or trying to. Or going to someone who does. This means consulting a psychic. Yes, this means the 1-800 numbers or whatever, all of that. Spirit of divination, again. And it's a witchcraft thing. Consulting a medium. To know about or talk to the dead. Seances and all that nonsense. Yes, Long Island medium. All of that. They're all mediums. That's a bad idea. That will bring a curse on you. Drinking blood. Very popular among vampire groups, but should never, ever be done by a Christian. Ever. Ouija boards. Don't even get me started on Ouija boards. Don't ever touch a Ouija board. Do not touch one in a store, in the box. Do not touch one ever. If you see a Ouija board in somebody's house, leave. Do not stay there, because that is it's basically a doorway that will take you straight into hell, all right? Things come through those Ouija boards that you won't even see in your nightmares. You don't even want to see them anywhere. Yoga. Yoga is directly linked to the Kundalini spirit. Don't do it. If you want to stay free of demons, don't do it. And I know a lot of y'all do yoga, but I'm telling you the truth. It's directly related to Kundalini. Your choice. Okay. Another thing I look for, if there's a hindrance to getting demons out, is willful sin. A willful sin is something that you are doing that you know is a sin that you refuse to stop doing. Okay? One that I see a lot, probably the one I see more than any other one, is people who are shacking up before marriage and don't want to stop. They know they're not supposed to be doing it. And some people even say, well, we're not doing anything. Well, if you're not doing anything, it's still the appearance of evil. It's still a sin. The Bible says to avoid the appearance of evil, that the ministry be not blamed. So, and that doesn't mean we get that right all the time, but I'm telling y'all, we have to try. And you know that's wrong. If you're living with somebody that you are romantically involved with, of the opposite sex or whatever, and you're not married, you know that's wrong. If you're doing that, you're going to have demons you can't get rid of. Let's say you're trying to get all the demons out, but you're shacking up with somebody. I'm sorry, but there's a bunch of them demons there that are just not going to go. This means we need to repent and lay down any sin that we find out we're in. We should constantly be looking to see if we're in sin. We can't change anything we've done in the past, but we should be looking to see if we're in sin. We should be asking the Lord to tell us or let us know if we're in sin, and then we need to repent of that, ask forgiveness, and lay it down and walk away. If you don't do that, you're compromising your walk. And that's idolatry, by the way. Soul ties. Another thing I look for when demons won't leave or something strange is going on. Soul ties create soul tunnels where demons can come to you from other people and bring destruction. One thing that you will sometimes see when soul ties become active or a soul tie, sometimes demons can access through a soul tie, but they wait. Sometimes demons get on you from different things, but they wait. They just lie dormant. They just wait. They're attached, but they're not doing anything. They're not causing anything. They're not tempting you to do anything. And when that happens, what is going on is the demons have had a meeting, and they've decided it would be better if they wait and set you up for a bigger fall. So they just lay dormant until that time. Sometimes what you will see when a demon gets on somebody from a soul tie or another thing is a complete change in their personality. That's a real freaky when that happens. I've witnessed that a couple times lately. It's a freaky thing. It's somebody you think you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, they just do a 180 on you. One day they're one way, and the next day they're some other way, and you're like, I don't know what happened. What happened was a demon got in there and started influencing them. A soul tie is formed anytime we become close emotionally to someone. Any friendship, coworkers that you know, good or bad, any sexual activity at all, including where you are just fantasizing about another person. I'm talking about self-gratification, okay? In case anybody's in doubt. We'll create a soul tie and we'll open up a soul tunnel, allowing entrance into your life of every demon they have, okay? There's a guy named Mike Smith who teaches deliverance on the internet, and he calls these STDs, sexually transmitted demons. I think that is hilarious. You don't want no STDs, all right? The way we stop those tunnels is by breaking the soul tie with the person that we're no longer involved with and getting rid of everything they ever gave us, not the kids. If you got kids with them, you don't get rid of the kids, okay? I have an ebook out on soul ties and how to break them on Amazon. It's probably on the website too. And by the way, y'all, Amazon is doing away with their A store. My bookstore tab in the website is an A store. And next month in October, they're going to completely close all those down. So I won't be able to have the books there. I might be able to make a page with just links to the books on Amazon where you can find them. I'll try to do that. But you can get that little, it's a little ebook for like, I don't know, $3 or $4 or something like that if you need more detail on breaking soul ties. The dormant demons. Let me tell you a story. I had a meeting once at McKinney, Texas. There were a bunch of people that wanted to get together with me, and I have no idea why, but we decided to have a meeting. It's like 30 or 40 people or something like that. And this one lady, before she came there, she communicated to me by email this problem that she was having. She was a woman who walked with God, and all of a sudden, she couldn't pray or worship. And it was dry, and she was like, I don't know what's wrong, and this can't go on. You know, I'm like, okay, we'll pray about this, and we'll deal with it. So after the meeting, I went over to her, and when I laid my hands on her, the Lord spoke to me and said that she had a demon of unbelief that had come through a soul tie with her ex-husband. She had been gone from him, I think she said, 1.5 or 2 years. That's how long this demon had waited. And what it had done is her walk was strengthening. So it just stayed dormant, waiting for a more opportune time when it could do more damage. Back then, she was probably praying and worshiping a little bit. Up here, when I met her, she was praying and worshiping a lot. So it just shut that down. So we broke the soul tie, cast it out. She broke the soul tie. I didn't break the soul tie for her. I told her to break the soul tie because I believe the person who has the soul tie has to break it. And that doesn't mean that, let's say that I have a soul tie with an ex-husband. It doesn't mean that they have to break it. I can break it on my end. But somebody else shouldn't be praying over me saying, oh, I break her soul ties. No, you have to break your soul ties. It's your soul that's tied to them. But as soon as that demon was cast out, immediately she could pray and worship. It was really cool. So that was a cool thing to learn. Getting delivered is a process. It can take years, okay? If there was a lot of sin in your life like there was in mine, it can take years to get all the demons out. And after deliverance, constant vigilance is needed. You have to be on your guard all the time to maintain your deliverance, or they will come back. Let's say, you know, if I get back into the same sin after I've gotten delivered, all those demons are going to come back. And here's what's worse. If you're doing deliverance on someone, we'll use someone else for an example, but this also applies to you. If you're doing self-deliverance, you're doing deliverance on your own self. Let's say that you cast out 3 demons that you know that are there. Okay, and let's say that you are not vigilant. You don't, you know, you're just like, oh, well, I'm delivered. I'm free now. I'm fine. And then you go back and you do some of those same sins, or you entertain thoughts about those same sins, like you're thinking about doing them. What happens is each one of those demons comes back with 7 more wicked. So you started with 3 demons. You ended up with 24. The 3 plus 7 times 3. 24 demons you have now. Every time you go back to the sins after doing deliverance, it multiplies, okay? Every time. Y'all, I don't do deliverance on other people for this reason. If the Lord directs me to, or if he shows me the demons that are on somebody, then I will do it. Because anytime the Lord shows you a demon on somebody or reveals that demon's there, it means he wants you to go deal with it, okay? Oftentimes, if I walk into a church, God will show me somebody across the room. I remember the last time I went to a church in Princeton, he said, she's got suicide on her. So, I mean, like, you know, I'll leap over church furniture to get to somebody that's got the demon of suicide because I hate that demon worse than most demons. And because I know it can act quickly and it'll isolate the person and take them out. So anytime the Lord shows you anything about a demon on a person, deal with it. All right? If you're dealing with demons on you and you get them out, you need to maintain your deliverance by not getting back into sin. If you don't, you're going to actually hurt yourself doing deliverance than going back into sin. You would be better off to wait until you do deliverance. Make sure you are committed to give the sin up, okay? Because it's like a piece of rope. And here you are right here. And every time you go out, you know, you get delivered and then you go back out and you do the sins again, the rope twists. And then you do it again and the rope twists. And pretty soon it's twisted up because there's so many demons on it that you can't hardly get free. It is more dangerous to cast the demons out over and over, and they keep coming back and bringing their friends. You need to be committed. Anybody you do deliverance on needs to be committed that they're going to stay away from those sins. If somebody walks into your church acting all crazy, don't just run over there and lay hands on them people and try to get them delivered, because when you lay hands on them, those demons can access you and they may not want to be delivered. Maybe they're drunk or high and they just came into your church and they're just acting stupid. It doesn't mean they need deliverance. Yeah, they need it, but it doesn't mean they want it. And they definitely are, you know, if they're not in a place to maintain it, you're going to hurt them. You're going to actually hurt them, and you can hurt yourself. We got to use common sense about this, y'all. We want everybody to be free. There's no question. I want everybody to be free of demons. I hate demons. But we have to use common sense. Not everybody is ready to be free. I hope this show has helped you. I hope it will help you get more free and walk closer to Jesus every day. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Millions of Christians are trapped in abusive situations today, living in fear or living a life of failure. 1 in 4 women in America will experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Men are victims of nearly 3 million assaults in the U.S. Did you know if you are under the curse of abuse, abuse will always be part of your life unless you break the curse? Find out how to get free of the curse of abuse. Get the book, Escaping the Curse of Abuse. Available on Amazon.com. Escaping the Curse of Abuse. And be free. Isn't it time? What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.